The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good evening, everybody. It's currently about 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Friday, March 29th. Hope everyone's having a good weekend. Got some nice weather here on the East Coast now that it stopped raining. We had a great day out today. Hopefully everyone else is enjoying their weekend as well. I already had the LCK post from earlier this morning. This one is going to be the LEC podcast. We're going to be covering the four matches across the four best of threes across Saturday and Sunday in the LEC. I'll be doing a separate show for the Tuesday matches. Weird schedule in the LEC this week, doing Saturday, Sunday, and then Tuesday. LCS and LPL will be a separate post, probably either much later tonight or tomorrow, probably in the evening at some point, depending on when I get home. I have some stuff to do in the afternoon, so I'll probably be doing an LCS slash LPL show for the Sunday matches in those regions as a separate show as well. Let's get right into it. All right, first up, we have Team Vitality, minus 197 on the money line. Minus 1.5 maps is at plus 168. The plus 1.5 is at minus 636 against SK Gaming, plus 160 on the money line. Plus 1.5 maps is at minus 207. Minus 1.5 is at plus 448. Team Vitality, 5-4, straight up as favorites this season. Not particularly great, but it kind of is in line with their average odds, which was minus 138. SK Gaming, 4-7 as dogs, have not... They're actually 9-2 against kill spread, but unfortunately for us, heavily backing them in the final week of the regular season, we were heavily disappointed because they did not come through for us on the spread or outright. So SK Gaming, the basic handicap here is that the model is going to make this closer, even with SK's relatively poor week three performance, and really their last five matches were pretty rough. The model still made this a little bit too hefty a price for Team Vitality, just by the numbers strictly, made it a minus 164 plus 148. That said, I don't think it's particularly like enough of a value on SK to really get interested in their side. I know it's kind of goofy that I went to bat pretty heavy for this team last week, but I think there's something going on here. They have not been performing well. Even if you look at like outside of those two games where we were on that side, they have not been playing particularly well. You look at their game grade performance and the recent game grades, they've taken a complete nosedive since the beginning of the spring. And really, the more important aspect of this is that Vitality have actually looked excellent. Like, their game grades of late have been some of the best in the league. I think this is a situation where you have two teams that are trending opposite directions. You know, I wouldn't lay the price with Vitality, but if you made me pick a side here, I'd probably play like Vitality kill spread -6.5. Just eye test, they've looked better, and I never in a million years thought I'd say that with these two teams, but that's the reality of what we got right now. I didn't actually have a play on the side. There's an extremely, extremely high kill total market here. The spread or the total set at 29.5. You know, for as high a combined kills per minute team as Vitality is, and they're one of the highest, they have a 0.928 combined kills per minute for the year. The league average is 0.83. SK are above league average as well, albeit not to as extreme a degree. That said, like, even though they're a high combined kills per minute team, they only get to 29 kills or more in half their games. So, and the SK Gaming get there far less often than that, like less than 31% of their games. So... Or I'm sorry, they get to 29 in 34.62%, and they get to 30 in less than 31%. So, you know, the LEC in general is very volatile when it comes to kill totals, like, especially when it gets to playoffs. Like, you tend to have a lot of games that are either way under or way over. There's not a whole, like, the overall volatility for the entire league is relatively high compared to some of the others in the world across the globe. The LEC in general does not have a whole lot of games that land in the middle. The games are either extremely bloody or extremely not. And in some ways, that's kind of like more akin to the LCK, whereas the LPL, we have a pretty steady... the LPL tends to be the most consistently landing in the range that it's anticipated to land in, like closest to projection, closest to mean or median, however you want to do it. But the LEC, it's very, very feast or famine when it comes to that. I actually like playing kill total unders here. I'm going to play alt unders. I'm going to go down a few rungs and play under 27.5 at plus 127 for one unit, and on map two as well, under 27 at plus 127. One unit each on those. Together, these two teams, I mean, we've only seen a handful of games from these two teams against each other this season, but combined, they're averaging 24.25 combined kills per game in their matchups this season. Only one of them has gone over the total at the current price. Now, I know that this patch has been bloodier. I know that just in terms of general macro trends, things have been bloodier. The final week of the regular season was significantly less bloody. I also happen to think that when you have two teams like this where it's going to tend to be a slower, more methodical early game, that I think you can see maybe a slower game state in general. It's not going to be as action-packed as early. I mostly just think this is a really, really high total that's set, and I think it's a high total because of how high Vitality have been on the combined kills per minute spectrum. But SK have not been. Like, they have not been an overteam. Like, they're above average in combined kills per minute, but I think, like, this is just a very, very high total. Like, neither of these teams are averaging... Like, neither of these teams are averaging combined kills per minute above 29.5. Like, if you just want to do, like, a simple, uber-simple projection in that way, like, neither of these teams are averaging above that. You have 29.29 combined kills per game Vitality and 28.5, essentially, for SK. And it's lined at 29.5. It's slightly high a total for me, so I'm going to take advantage of this and play all Thunders and hope to get one of these home. Hopefully we get a blowout in one of these games and it's not particularly close and it's just the steamrolling. So that's all for that match. Lean Vitality minus 6.5 kills, under 27.5 kills at plus 127 on maps 1 and 2 for one unit each. Next up we have Fnatic minus 704 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at minus 160. Against Giant X plus 486 on the money line, the plus 1.5 maps at plus 131, the minus 1.5 is at plus 1411. So 14-1 on the Giant X sweep. Fnatic 12-7 straight up as favorites, 11-15 against Killswear, which is of note for something I'm going to mention in a bit. Giant X 7-11 as underdogs, 10-10 against Killspread. I should mention that Giant X have not performed particularly well in their last 10 as dogs. Most of those underdog wins were last season, not this season. Model actually made this fairly close to the market price. Fnatic really are that much better. Giant X have not been a good team this season, and I think perhaps most importantly, Giant X have not been a team that does a good job of keeping the games close like they were doing in springtime. In spring, they were doing a lot better of a job of keeping games close and then just, like, losing. This season, it's just been off the rails in a lot of their games, like, right away. They have a significant deficit at 20 minutes in more than 40% of their games, which is absolutely bananas. That's for the entire season, but the vast majority of those have happened in the spring split. Even back to the winter split, this was a team that frequently would keep games close, and then they just had trouble. Like, when they would take a punch, it was usually like a haymaker. Like, they would, like, the opponent would land the uppercut, you know. So it might be a boxing match where, like, both teams were staring at each other for 20 minutes, but as soon as someone connected against Giant X, it was over. The League of Legends equivalent of that is they don't do a good job of minimizing losses on plays, and usually when they lose a fight, it's usually in the mid to late game, and they just get aced and lose the game off of it. There's a couple things that play into that. First of all, it makes them a great, great under team because they're not doing a good job of, like, stalling games out. Fights tend to not be pretty, like, they aren't very close, and when they lose, they usually just get routed and the game ends right then and there. So, great under team. That's actually the preferred method I have of playing this. You know, Fnatic have been pretty bad against Killspread. Particularly, they've been pretty rough against the kill spread with larger kill spreads. Giant X have also covered more than half their games with a kill spread of 8.5 or greater. There's been 11 instances of that this season. So I would not play Fnatic on the kill spread in this series. My preferred way to play Fnatic dominating this match is through the under. I'm playing as two rungs down the ladder on the alt unders. I'm playing, again, back-to-back unders in the LEC. You know, maybe I'll look like an idiot tomorrow. We'll see. But map 1 and map 2 under 26.5 kills at plus 122 for one unit each. I really just think, like, if you look at, like, Fnatic have been an over team this season in general. They're a high combined kills per minute team. But again, this is a super high total set by the market, mostly because of what we've seen recently. The LEC is very volatile. It's not a whole lot lands right in the range. It's usually all very far above or very far below. If you look at Fnatic's performance against the bottom four teams, so like Carmine Corp, Rogue, Giant X, and SK Gaming, they've gone under their total in 6 out of the 11 games, and the combined kills per minute drops down closer to 0.86 from the 0.96, which is what they are at in their full sample. So noticeably less kill or fewer kills when Fnatic are heavy favorites, basically, is what that's saying. The two matches that we've seen between Giant X and Fnatic this year have been 13 and 23 kill wins for Fnatic with combined kills per minute of 0.655. Like I said, like Giant X just don't do a good job of avoiding the haymaker punches, so when they lose, they tend to get stomped. And I think Fnatic probably control these two games wire to wire. So I like the unders. If you do like Giant X, I think I would play the plus 9.5 kills. If you really want to get saucy, you could play both and hope to hit 3 out of 4 or something like that. But I'm just playing the unders. Next up, we have Heretics, plus 127 on the money line, plus 1.5 mass at minus 266. The minus 1.5 is at plus 352 against Team BDS, minus 154 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at plus 211, plus 1.5 is at minus 477. BDS 11-4, straight up as favorites. Heretics 5-6 as dogs. Heretics notably are 8-4 against the kill spread with an average spread of 6.0, which is kind of interesting as underdogs. You know, BDS have been kind of an interesting team. The winter split, they were the full-on Adam show. Like, whether Adam was either cheesing his way to victory and carrying that team, or they were getting leverage from him drawing bans and getting a bunch of power picks. They looked like a true blue regular season team, kind of like your... I always compared them to the academy, the military service academies in college football playing the triple option offense. Like, they end up being great against the spread teams a lot of the time because these other teams just aren't going to spend a week prepping for, like, their weird-ass offense. Like, they're just going to out-athlete you. So, but they're great against the spread because they shorten the games and all this. I don't know. That's a whole different thing. But that's who I compared them to because BDS are kind of a weird team. And they were a team that I was looking to fade when it got to playoffs, when teams actually had to prep for them and had a best of five to adjust or best of three to adjust to them. They're a team that I typically like to fade during the playoffs. But what's interesting is they had a rough start to the spring split, but after that weird week one, they looked pretty good. They've looked actually quite good in their final 2 weeks of the regular season. And they've been doing so without too much of a reliance on Adam's odd stuff. You know, they've played 3 games of the Olaf, but in general, they're getting there with Adam playing more stock standard kind of stuff, which is, and really, if you look at their under the hood metrics, they've actually improved. They're a better team than they were in winter. I want to give some flowers to Heretics as well. Heretics have been, you know, slowly improving. I don't think they're quite good yet, but their under the hood metrics are slowly improving over the course of the 2024 year. This is a team that I mentioned, you know, before the season started that I thought would be a slow grower, and that's kind of been the case with them. Heretics have side choice for this match. They were the higher seed, but I think, as weird as it is to say, and this is another kind of out of character for me, I guess, but BDS have changed, you know, they've changed my mind. They've looked pretty good in spring, just playing pretty straight up. Like, they're not relying on the cheese. They look like a pretty good team, like, legitimately. And, you know, hopefully I don't get burned on this, but, you know, if you give Heretics a bump for side choice, yeah, I could see this getting closer to the market price. I personally think BDS are enough better that they're worth a play offside here. I think, you know, the model made this plus 174, minus 193. You give it an adjustment for side choice, maybe it gets down to, like, probably around the market price or maybe a little longer than that. But I think just qualitatively, BDS are enough of a better team. And because they've been doing it without all the cheese stuff, I think if they have anything cooked up to surprise and break serve on the first game here, then they have a good chance to 2-0 this series. So I play BDS on the money line, minus 154, just for one unit. That was my only play in this. The model actually liked under 12.5 towers as well, and it also liked kill total overs again, or kill total unders in this one as well, mostly because Heretics have been an under team. You know, they've only gone over the market totals in about 34% of the games. So, you know, I lean to the under, but I think these have been adjusted down. I think this is where most of the other game should be as well, but that's not what we're seeing. So I didn't play the unders in this one. I played the unders in the first match. Just BDS money line for me, minus 154 for one unit. Last but not least, in the LEC this weekend, we have G2 Esports minus 425 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at minus 105, plus 1.5 at minus 1435 against Mad Lions Koi, plus 319 on the money line, plus 1.5 at minus 115. The minus 1.5 is at plus 847. G2, 17-5, straight up as favorites this season, 3-1 against the map spread in playoff matches. Mad Lions, 7-7 as dogs, 1-2 against the map spread, 13-9 against the kill spread with an average spread of plus 5.2 as underdogs. Mad Lions notably have been an under team. 14 out of 22 have gone over as kill totals as underdogs, average total of 28.6. G2 as favorites, definitely an under team. 18 out of 30 matches have gone with them as favorites have gone under with an average total of 27.59 kills. Goes without saying, G2 are the class of the West. I think they're the best Western team with margin. I don't think it's particularly close. I don't really think they have too much competition at all. That said, this is a huge number. So we really have to start asking questions here. What it's worth, the model made this minus 207, MAD plus 186. That's a massive edge on market price. You know, we're talking double digits here from a percentage, implied percentage perspective. G2 are the best. That's not a question. I do think MAD have kind of come back down to earth after a good winter split. They're looking a lot more normal this split. Down to earth a bit. Their underlying numbers have taken a hit. Not a huge hit, but they've taken a hit. I think everybody kind of acknowledged that they were running hot in winter, and they were an exciting team, and they're a fun team. They've kind of been knocked down a peg, so to speak, here in spring. That said, like, this is a competent team, and I think, like, if you look at their most recent games, you know, it hasn't been pretty, but their game grades have been quite good. Like, their average game grade over the last 8 games has been pretty solid, and I think that they, like, this is just a little bit too disrespectful for Mad Lions, I think. Like, don't get me wrong, more than likely outcome here is that G2 stomp this 2-0. And actually, if you like G2 to win this outright, I actually like kill total unders quite a bit in this contest because G2 have been an awesome under team. But I think the price is good enough that we should be taking some Mad Lions here. I just think this price is a little bit too disrespectful. So I played Mad Lions plus 1.5 maps at minus 115 for 1 unit and Mad Lions on the money line plus 319 for 0.25 units. Just think this price is too big. Should mention also, G2 have already locked up a position at MSI. Right now, the winner of the winter split locks up a play-in stage minimum. The winner of the spring split will get directly seeded into the bracket stage at MSI. But there's a chance that G2 aren't all super motivated here. I don't think that's the case. I think we'll get a game effort from them, but a little bit more, dire need for this game if Mad Lions want to get some international competition for this young lineup. So they should be hungry for this match. I just think the price is too big mostly. I don't think this is necessarily like, oh man, super hot take. Mad Lions should be outright favorites or anything like that. I think the price is just way too big. So played Mad Lions. That's going to be it for me. I'll be back later on tonight or sometime tomorrow with the LPL and LCS. Until then, have a good one.